BuckeyeRadio.com presents a fan's perspective on Notre Dame sports. This is Dome and Domer.
Hello, Irish fans, and welcome to another edition of Dome and Domer. My name's Mike Brammer. Joining me tonight, Ed Jordanic. And for the next 20 minutes or so, we'll talk about several things, but obviously the number one thing on everybody's mind today is Brian Kelly as the next head coach at Notre Dame. Ed, what was your initial reaction to that when you first heard it?
My initial reaction was a sigh of relief.
That it wasn't Kirk LaFrenz or somebody like that? Or
Yeah. You know, I mean, I think that this was probably the best fit on the board. I think it's somebody that the powers that be kind of identified. Who knows? They may have identified him, you know, over the summer as somebody that they would definitely pursue if this situation arose. And I think, like we talked about earlier, this seems to have played out pretty closely to what we had discussed, that they would, that this, you know, the sourcing was indicating that they would take a run at a home run, which, you know, an Urban Meyer or Bob Stoops. We'll never know really probably how close they came to actually having serious discussions with Stoops. That might have just been clever PR to kind of get the word out that there was, you know, that Notre Dame was actually being considered by a top flight, you know, top-notch coach, and if it was, then hey, you know, good. It's good to win those kind of PR battles, or at least create an aura that you know, this is a desirable job. And I think you know, two things that I thought wasn't sure as kind of this was kind of dragging on a little bit. You know, what was going to happen, but I think the way things kind of rolled out today, two things are pretty evident. Brian Kelly wanted to become the head football coach at Notre Dame in a big way. You know, he's not going to coach in the Sugar Bowl. He broke this to his team before their banquet. Obviously, representatives of his were talking to us before his season was over against Pittsburgh. There's no way you get something like this done in four days.
I agree with you. I will say that the most surprising thing in this is that he isn't coaching the Sugar Bowl. I mean, I'm sure a lot of people on the outside will see that and be like, whoa, you know, here's a guy that's BCS Championship Bowl Series bound. They're undefeated and big battle. Notre Dame is going to come by and not let this guy coach his team in, you know, the champion. You know, that's going to get spun. But in any event, I will say that it'd be interesting to know behind the scenes that Notre Dame say, hey, look, Brian, thanks. Cincinnati's a nice little place for you. You did well. Good job. But we got bigger things going on over here, and if you want to be a part of it, you got to come right now.
Yeah, I mean, they'll never say. They'll portray it as a
mutual
decision.
Right.
And the way that it should be, I think they'll probably handle it in a classy way. But yeah, it would be, you know, interesting. It certainly would indicate that either one, you know, he really wants this job, and he basically put up a little bit of a fight when they said, we want you to start tomorrow. Or, you know, because listen, you know, Rob Ionello is out the door. You know, this is really a program in limbo. It's a quiet period right now for recruiting, but in a couple weeks, it is going to start with full force for the home stretch of January to get some of these kids to sign on the bottom line. So, you know, this program needs a leader as soon as possible. This is a critical time in a college football program, this time between the end of the season and National Signing Day. And every minute, every day, every visit, every phone call, every text message to these recruits counts. And the sooner you could get the face of the program, you know, on ESPN, you know, basically all day tomorrow, all day tonight, you know, all night tonight, all day tomorrow, you know, and through into the weekend and analysis and stuff, you know, the better chance that you have to lay the groundwork for you know, maybe getting one or two upsets on the recruiting trail, solidifying the people that have already committed. So who knows, you know, how it played out, but I agree with you. It is fascinating. And again, you know, they're not playing for a national championship. Thank goodness.
Right.
Thank you, Hunter, whatever that kicker's name for Texas is,
right,
you know, for drilling that through. that was kind of saw my, you know, saw our future flash in front of our eyes when Texas went out and laid an egg against Nebraska.
I'll tell you, it is interesting how all these little things come into play. I mean, I know that I'm not so sure how many people across the nation know about all the little rumors that we hear about being, you know, around the program as close as we are. I mean, rumors from the standpoint that Stoops was actually very close and because of some contractual things that he saw, couldn't come to agreement, and that's why he's not here. I mean, there's, you know, rumors like that that you hear that you just don't know. I mean, I don't, you know, who knows if any of that's true? Who knows if it isn't? But, you know, the fact of the matter is we are standing here today with, you know, a good hire for Notre Dame. This is not at all what we've had over the last three hires. I mean,
it's very different.
This is a totally different scenario. You'd almost argue going all the way back to Holtz, it's as good as hire as that. And, you know, Holtz had some success at other programs that he was at. He was at Minnesota, but clearly it wasn't like an oh my God kind of hire. I don't know that Brian Kelly's an oh my God kind of hire, but clearly it's a guy that is on his way up. And, you know, I don't know that we had that in the last three hires that we've had. So
right.
I think you have to look at the administration and say, okay, they did their job. You know, they went after what they could go after and, you know, coming faced in the situation that they were faced in with today's current environment, you certainly can't be unhappy with a Brian Kelly hire right now.
I just don't
see it.
Right. And also, you know, we had a little bit of a luck in our favor too. You know, there weren't other kind of, you know, top 10, top 15 jobs open, right? I mean, he would have been a candidate for any of those jobs
if they were, right?
So,
right.
Because I think you could really make the case that, you know, in terms of besides the established guys, the hot guys ready to take a quote unquote step up would be the guy at Boise, the guy at TCU, and Brian Kelly. And, whether it's the Midwest thing, whether it's the, you know, whatever it is, we identified him as a guy that we really wanted to pursue. A couple things about him just right off the top, that I like, and I'm sure there are negatives and we'll learn them, but you know, today's really a day, I think, to focus on the positives because I think it is a good hire. The guy's been undefeated, like, several times. He knows what that feels like. He knows what that takes. Fairly or unfairly, that is the standard that we tend to apply to Notre Dame football, which is laughable because we haven't even been close to that for 20 years. But you know what I'm saying? Like, we want to win every game, as every good program does. But there are a lot of places where 8-4, 9-3 feel pretty good. This is a guy that's been a head coach of several undefeated programs. This year, he may not end up undefeated, but certainly undefeated in the regular season. So I like the fact that he knows how that feels. He's tasted perfection, and that means that's probably his bar too. You know, he's not, you know, a loss during the year is falling short in his book. You know, secondly, I don't think you could, you know, and this was I think a point made in something that I read today, but you know, he's had to he has coached guys up. Obviously, I mean, when you're coaching Division II or you're coaching at Central Michigan or you're coaching at Cincinnati. To put it charitably, you're getting some recruiting leftovers.
Yeah, I mean, they argue what you're saying. He was 10th in the league this year in recruiting. So he's doing something right if you're not really recruiting that well, but yet you're going 12-0. So, yeah, and I think that obviously that's, you know, in my mind, coaching comes down to obviously some key points, and that is, number one, do you win the games you should win? And the answer to that for Brian Kelly is yes. Secondly, do you steal a game every now and then that you should not win? And I would argue that, yeah, he's done that. I mean, you could argue that he shouldn't have beat Pittsburgh. Over the last couple of years, he's won some games that he probably shouldn't have won. And I think that's a mark of a good coach. And then lastly, I think, you know, other than, you know, strategy and turnovers and not all that stuff, but just in general, if you get kids to play above what they are, that's the mark of a good coach. And, you know, unfortunately for us, we haven't had that in the last three coaches that have been here at Notre Dame.
Yeah, I think you've got to be able to set to know what it feels like, a culture of winning and a culture of confidence. You know, for whatever reason, these last 3 years, that slipped by the wayside. You know, we didn't put the hammer down on people. We made bad mistakes at critical times. You know, we just weren't mentally tough enough to take it, to take this talent and take it to the next level. And that starts with leadership. It starts with the tone that's set at the top. And, you know, I don't think that can be underestimated. I mean, Charlie obviously fell a little bit short in those areas. I mean, he was part of some very successful programs, successful years in New England, but it wasn't his responsibility, you know, to create the culture of the Patriots, you know, to kind of create an environment where, the work, there was a direct connection between the hard work and the payoff and the wins. And I think he was kind of feeling his way through that. You know, how do you lead? You know, I don't think Brian Kelly, you know, at this point after 20 years as a head coach, that just kind of comes natural, leading. And that's sometimes, you know, you really have to kind of grow into that role as a leader. Leadership is tough. Being the guy, you know, being the face of the program, is difficult. So he sat in that chair for quite a while, and just in that alone, I think he won't give a second thought to a lot of things. A lot of things will come naturally for him that Charlie probably spent a whole heck of a lot of time wondering about, worrying about, crafting, trying to get right. And I think just that in itself is a step ahead.
Yeah, I agree. And I think that it's interesting to see just even some of the comments from Charlie Weiss after it became evident that he was done. And that immediately he's turning toward, hey, look, I now feel like I got a lot I can bring to the table in an offensive coordinator position. I mean, almost right away, he's discounting the fact that I'll ever be a head coach again. And nothing against him. I mean, I'm not, you know, saying this from a personal standpoint. I think that, you know, anybody's a fool to think that Charlie Weiss isn't a capable offensive coordinator. I mean, he clearly is that. I do think that a guy like, I'll tell you what, if I was an NFL team, I would seriously consider about sticking his butt in the press box and having him call plays for me. I mean, I really think that Charlie has not hurt himself in that regard. As a head football coach, yeah, there's a lot of other things that go on to play with that. And a lot of it has to do with being able to get the attention of 18 to 22 year old kids and get them to buy into what you're doing and believe in you and operate at a level higher than they think they're capable of. And unfortunately, he couldn't do that. And, you know, he was asked a lot. I mean, if you really think about it, I mean, he was put in a pretty doggone difficult situation. Yeah. And I think that what a lot of people forget is Charlie Weiss is a guy that is a Notre Damer. He loves Notre Dame. He certainly didn't want, to bring the university down, nor the football program as a whole. I mean, this is not an easy thing for Charlie Weiss to walk away from. I mean,
listen, as much as we're bummed out about the last 3 years, I guarantee you it isn't a fraction of the disappointment he feels. I mean, there will be, you know, he will be doing some soul searching for the rest of his career about what he could have done differently. Because, you know, these guys are all competitors. But, you know, Charlie, when you go back to your alma mater, you know, when you're here during a glory years and Montana years and you want to, you know, you fantasize about coming through that tunnel in a big game and pulling it off. You fantasize about bringing the, you know, a championship trophy, you know, back to South Bend for the first time in, you know, 3 decades. There's no doubt. And I have little doubt that he thought that he was the guy to do it, that would happen. And it's too bad, I mean, that it didn't work out. But one thing that I just wanted to say real quick about Brian Kelly, and I don't want to forget it before I forget, but one of the things that his hire today, I think, is important. It should give Notre Dame fans, I think, a little bit of a shot in the arm, you know, kind of like signing Manti did last year, because, you know, there was a couple points in this process where, you know, there was, you know, you were starting to get worried that we were going to, you know, settle. There were some other good candidates out there, don't get me wrong, and they could have ended up maybe, you know, only time will tell if Brian Kelly works out. But it's a shot in the arm, I think, to the program, to the confidence of the fan base that, you know, hey, we went out and we got the guy that was the guy this year. He wanted us, we wanted him, and you know, there was a fit there, and it wasn't anything about, the academic standards, and it wasn't all this. If those were issues, he saw that he could win here. Because at the end of the day, Mike, you know, you and I talked about this before, nobody was going to take this job unless they thought that they could get it done. You know, I mean, nobody's going to – this has been we were getting close to that reputation of being a graveyard for coaches. You know, we talked about it before. You know, Holtz ended badly. Davey, out of coaching. You know, O'Leary, disaster. Willingham, out of coaching. Weiss, he will never be a head coach again in college, at least. So, you know, that kind of word gets around. That kind of reputation gets around. You know, can I win there? I mean, coaches, I'm sure, ask themselves, you know, can anybody win there? Here's obviously a guy who has a terrific record as a head coach, and he's taking a job that was kind of, you know, being considered, geez, is this something where people, you know, really want to, people, you know, who are promising, people who have ambition, people who, you know, want to win it all, people who have, you know, kind of the stuff that, you know, that maybe the, you know, the best in the business are made of. Is that still a place that somebody like that would want to go? And I think at least for a day we should feel that that it is. And I think we should be pretty pleased with our hire.
Yeah, and certainly from Brian Kelly's standpoint, at least the one good thing he's glad that Charlie Weiss was good at, and that was recruiting, because he's going to walk into a situation totally unlike what Weiss walked into. And granted, Weiss had some players here in that first year and in that second year, but he didn't have them all, and clearly it got dumped on him in the third year, and that it wasn't there. And I don't care who was coaching. Yeah, maybe a couple games we shouldn't have lost that year, but the fact of the matter is, I mean, we were in dire straits from where Willingham was and where he left the program, and at least Brian Kelly doesn't have that situation in front of him. Little bit of a dip, but he'll be coming in, and then he can get strong real quickly, and at least from his standpoint, can win right away.
Anybody who thinks that Notre Dame isn't just a little bit of a special place, just maybe a little bit different than other, you know, big time places in college football. I mean, look at how much class and grace this group of assistants, have done the job of recruiting. I mean, the rats have not jumped the ship at all. I mean,
I agree.
And not just that, you know, we got a kid to sign, a four-star guy being recruited by Florida and Miami, you know, when this program was in limbo, when there was no head coach. I mean, what is, you know, these guys can all leave with their head up high. Obviously not all of them are going to be retained. Maybe only one or two. But man, I mean, Notre Dame fans, if you run into a, you know, Frank Verducci on the street, or if you run into Randy Hart, or if you run into Rob Ionello, or if you run into, you know, Bernie Parmalee, or if you run into one of these guys, maybe Tony Alford will stick around, or, you know, if you run into one of these guys, I mean, say thanks, because they really represented the university well. Brian Polian, I can't leave him out, obviously. He did a fantastic job. You know, who knows, maybe he'll be kept as a recruiting coordinator or a coach or something like that. But, I mean, these guys really...
That's not right. Job. Yeah, and it's easy to bail. I mean, it could have way easier to bail.
I'm sure a lot of places, they would have just spent the next
few
weeks
exactly
working on their resumes and scrambling to find a job.
Yeah, no, I would agree with that wholeheartedly. Well, real quick, let's mention, I mean, there was obviously other things going on today as well.
Yeah.
A little bit of a surprise. I gotta say, I didn't think he was gonna get it. I don't know why I didn't think he was, because I thought he certainly deserved it, but Golden Tate was named the Biletnikoff Award winner.
How cool is that?
And I thought it was awesome. I thought it was well deserved. It should have been. I thought he was the best in college football. And maybe this is a result of YouTube and stuff like that, but at least from my standpoint, I looked at the highlights of Shipley, and it's him doing a post pattern over the middle, going wide open into the touchdown. You know, you got Golden Tate, and you got him making some unbelievable, ridiculous catches that he shouldn't have made, or him running through three tackles to score a touchdown, or him, I mean, he just had some really outstanding highlight catches this year.
This is a silly theory, but I think what might have won him this award is he really didn't do anything in the punt return game all year, and then he returned one to get us back in the game right against Pitt. You know, a long punt return, wasn't it, like 70, 80 yards or something like that?
Longest,
and if I'm not mistaken, Shipley also returned punts for Texas and had one or two returns for a touchdown. So I think until Golden did that, you know, they might have tipped it to Shipley just based on that kind of versatility in the return game. But once Golden, you know, national TV, on a Saturday night took it to the house, you know, in another just kind of terrific performance in prime time, who knows? Maybe that tipped it to him, but I think it's really well deserved. I mean, I think he should be in the top five, actually, personally, top five in the Heisman balloting. He won't be, but I think he should be. And, you know, way to go, Golden. We're gonna miss you a lot.
Yeah, it's gonna be, you know, I would love to think that maybe he would consider, because Brian Kelly's the kind of guy that would get the ball in his hands. I just, now that he's won this award,
right,
I just don't see it, you know.
Right. First team All-American.
I don't see it, you know.
Yeah, it's not gonna happen.
He's the kind of kid that, you know, obviously you hear stories around being close to the program and Golden, you know, you just hear some stories. I won't go any further than that, but something tells me when an agent gets a hold of him, it won't be real difficult to convince him. So, you know, for his standpoint, good luck to him. I mean, I'm glad he came to Notre Dame and had just an unbelievable year. I mean, man, think about him not playing well. What would have happened? Because losing Floyd like we did, and then Tate just exploding. I mean, really just unbelievable the way he picked it up, and it was clearly well deserved. So that was neat. I was glad to see that.
Now we just need Manti to win a Butkus Award, and then we're nowhere on the right track.
Yeah, absolutely. But in any event, well, with the big news of the day, we'll cut it there. I mean, sure, there's going to be a lot more to talk about. I'm sure that, unfortunately, Ed, we didn't talk about the bad about Brian Kelly, and we'll leave that to everybody that's going to post on our blog about why this is a disastrous pick.
There'll be a few.
But I think, you know, you got to keep your cool. And you know what? Based on what we had available to us, this is not a bad hire. This is clearly a guy that was top sought-after head football coach in the collegiate game today, and we got him. He's at Notre Dame.
I don't know who these people are, but give me another, you know, two or three realistic names, and I'm just, you know, I'm kind of baffled to, you know, what the, you know, listen, we fired our coach, we had to hire one, so
right,
you know,
right.
Lou's not available, you know, Air's not available, you know, I'm not quite sure what world some of these folks are living in, but if you look at the candidates out there, you know, you can't kind of like pick somebody out and say that they're, you know, objectively better.
Right.
Did they coach a better defense at some point in their career? Sure, probably. I mean, you could you know, pick at a bunch of things. You know, none of the, you're not going to find somebody who's, you know, perfect, but
You know what? I really could care less. If Brian Kelly's defenses aren't that good, as long as he goes 12-0, that's fine. I'll take it. Sorry, but I'll take it. All right, well, let's leave it there. You've been listening to Nolan Delmer, an online conversation about Notre Dame sports from a fan's perspective. For Ed Jordanic, I'm Mike Brammer. Thanks for listening.